If you are born again and a disciple of Jesus Christ, remember, saints, you are an ambassador for Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:20, and you're not here on earth on mission to save a country such as America, but to see the Lord that you now serve save eternal souls. So if you're born again, God has called you to personally participate in and obey the Great Commission command, not to salvage any country in this fleeting world. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's your assignment to participate in. And if you're not participating in that Great Commission command, you are out of the will of God. And most, if not all, pastors today, especially those based in a physical building, have no true heart or regard for the lost souls around them, much less to the ends of the earth. In fact, what they do is they get you focused on their church program, on being a member of their church, being a part of the connection. This is some of the buzzwords they use, the community. And yet you're not even evangelizing. You're not even being equipped to evangelize. In fact, your pastor isn't evangelizing. This would go for 99 of 100, at least, local church arrangements today. The pastor is not even doing the work of an evangelist, which the Bible said he is to do, and he is to be an example of such. No, but all the money goes to enrich him and the building, because the building makes him look good in the eyes of the worldly, of the gullible, of the lost, the tares among us. I mean, you name one. Can you name one, even one faithful churchgoer who is evangelizing the lost? Tell me, are you evangelizing the lost? Yet you're defending your church attendance, and you're trying to make it look like, because that's how you've been sold on it, because you don't have an independent study of God's word yourself, that you've been sold on the forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and that being tied and knit together with going to your church every Sunday. And yet you're not doing the work of an evangelist. You're not producing the fruit God saved you to produce as his ambassador, 2 Corinthians 5:20. And yet you're going to come to the defense of your part of, your attendance with, your membership in this local church that pretends to represent Jesus Christ, but we know them by their fruit. And the pastor isn't even evangelizing. Wow. God told Timothy through the Apostle Paul to preach the word. And then he told him to do the work of an evangelist. And that's the way you make full proof of your ministry. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 through 5. And remember Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day, that's the day of Christ, his return, approaching. Now, notice what it doesn't say. Hebrews 10:25 is so often misused by these enterprising, make merchandise of you modern pastors. Notice it doesn't say not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together in a certain official church building on Sunday morning. In the early church, they met house to house daily in the book of Acts. They couldn't get enough of Jesus. And yet we think that we're doing God a favor to gather with a community of professing Christians on Sunday morning who are not denying themselves, taking up their cross and following Jesus. Otherwise, they wouldn't even be a part of those apostate churches. They'd be busy seeking the Lord in his strength, seeking his face continually, daily, fellowshipping with and building up and feeding the body of Christ around them every day and evangelizing the lost. That's what a New Testament life looks like. Not showing up at a church building and dropping your coin in their coffer so they can pay their light bill on a building that God never ordained to be built. The Lord said that his building is what? His people. Ye are God's building. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 says, ye, that's you, the born again saints of Christ, are God's building. Notice, you are God's building. Not one, let me utter a couple of facts here. Not one penny was ever collected in the New Testament canon. With all the ministry that Paul and the apostles and the first deacons and the New Testament church did, it was an exploding enterprise right after Pentecost. And that's when the church was born at Pentecost. And they that were scattered abroad when persecution hit Jerusalem went everywhere preaching the word. Acts 8:4. Notice they didn't go everywhere joining a church or building church buildings. No, that's what people do when they are apostate from the Lord. Notice what we read here in Hosea chapter 8, verse 14. For Israel, that means my people, and the body of Christ is the Israel of God, which means the people of God, Galatians chapter 6, verse 16. But here in Hosea 8, 14, notice what we read. And Israel hath forgotten his maker. They've forgotten God. And what happens when we forget God? We'll be turned into hell. Psalms 9, verse 17. Notice, for Israel hath forgotten his maker. The Bible says, you shall not forget the Lord your God, for it is he that gives thee power to get wealth, to establish his covenant. And where does God establish his covenant? Deuteronomy 8:18. He establishes it in the hearts of men, not in pouring all this time and energy and money into church buildings, quote unquote. That basically didn't come along till the Catholic Church, after they had become obsolete in the book of Acts because the Jews dominated them and were antichrist. So go back to study where the church buildings came from and that idea and that model. It doesn't take a church building, so-called official physical building, for the body of Christ to get together. And by the way, in the New Testament church, most of the churches and gatherings, if not all of them, were very small, like 12 people or 30 people. You can look into this. There's a book called Pagan Christianity. There's a lot of good stuff in that book. There's also a man named Brother Tom Wadsworth, an elderly, older guy, and he is teaching some amazing New Testament truth about true New Testament fellowship. Put on your seatbelt, because it's going to be a whole lot different compared to the modern church system that the seminaries, which were started by the Catholic Church, and then the Protestant seminaries were corrupted by the Catholic Church beginning in the 1950s, have perpetrated upon our world. And what does it produce? What does the modern church system produce other than a bunch of lukewarm, don't do anything for Jesus people claiming to be Christians? They'll spend money on anything in this fleeting world, but they won't give to the gospel. They'll spend their time and energy doing anything except denying themselves, taking up their cross, following Jesus, and evangelizing the lost souls around them. And we all know that. As I asked earlier, let me throw it out there again to qualify the truth of what we're speaking about today in this message. How many, I'm asking you, how many on fire Christians, disciples, do you know who are also a part of a local church that meets in a building? Probably zero. And the ones that you know that are zealous, they're not zealous for Christ, they're zealous for their church. They're going to tell you, I love my church. Aren't you cute, right? I love my church. Wow, how lame. The same people are never going to be heard saying, I love my Lord Jesus Christ, and with Paul, I declare that I am going to glory not in anything but in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 6:14. How many do you know, my friend? And how does that fit to your life? How does this line up with your life? Are you a good church member, or are you a true crucified, born again saint and disciple of Jesus Christ who lays down his life every day to lift up others, for God to use him to lift up others by the nourishing of the body of Christ and by the preaching of the gospel to the lost around you? How do we go to sleep at night, my friend, when we haven't even handed out one tract? Wow, it's staggering. So notice, Israel hath forgotten his maker. And what has she done instead? Notice, and buildeth temples. She multiplies physical church buildings in the same breath as she claims to be a servant of the Lord. He or she speaking of the people of God, have forgotten their Maker. But yet they're multiplying temples or church buildings. Doesn't that sound like the resume of the apostate people who have a mere form of godliness? We read about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where they have a form of godliness, an outward show, but they deny the power or the rule, the authority of Jesus Christ in their daily life, and they're full of the love of self. This sounds exactly like the United States, and that which claims to be the church and has no reconciliation, no fruit to prove that they are truly the church of the holy Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, this know also that in the last days perilous, very dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers. And who is he speaking about in specific? Those who have a form of godliness, not the lost heathen, but he seems to be focusing on those that actually have a form, an outward formula, an outward facade of godliness. And yet they're lovers of their own selves. They're consumed with the trinkets of this world. And the Bible says, if any man love this world, the love of the Father is not in him, 1 John 2:15. They're consumed with consumerism, wasting money on the next little thrill, trinket, or junk food that's going to tickle their fancy. And yet they continue to be ever more miserable, poor, blind, miserable, and naked, just like Laodicea. The modern church in America resembles Sodom and Gomorrah, Ezekiel 16, beginning in verse 49, and Revelation 3, Laodicea. You read about the sins, the root sins of Sodom, which you can look up on Safeguard Your Soul. We've got a podcast called The Sins or the Root Sins of Sodom. And we have things on Laodicea. And that's what you're going to see in the American church, the same apostasy that from the truth, a departure from the truth that led those that claim to know the Lord to be poor, blind, miserable, and naked, which means undone without the righteousness of Christ. Revelation 3. Notice, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, not of the Lord, but of themselves. All while, verse 5, claiming to love the Lord, having a mere form or outward facade of godliness. Well, we go to church. Yeah, you're going straight to hell like nearly all other churchgoers. What is your identity, my friend? Is your identity Jesus Christ and Him crucified? If not, you've got a wrong identity and it's time to repent. For no man can serve two masters, right? That's what Jesus said. Matthew 6:24. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, it's recorded, he that is not with me is against me. Well, wait a minute. I'm with the church. Oh, and the church claims to be representing Christ, but you shall know them by their fruit. Matthew 7. And the fruit of the modern church, as we've been discussing, is not reflective of that which is serving Christ. They do not care about the lost. It's only about them coping and having all their needs met, and yet they are still miserable, poor, blind, miserable, and naked, because they're not seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and letting Him add all these other things to you. Matthew 6:33. Notice, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. They're so occupied with the things of this world instead of having their hand to the plow of the Great Commission that they've got all of this wickedness in their heart and time to manifest it in their wicked lives that bear the fruit of Satan and not the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, they're biting and devouring one another like Galatians, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, they're full of pleasure seeking. They're engrossed in just seeking the next pleasure in this fleeting world to feed their carnal appetites, their unrepentant, uncircumcised hearts. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. There it is. And that's all that's fed to them in these fake churches that use fake Bibles and are manned by fake pastors, and they teach a fake or another Jesus. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. They're traitors, they're heady, they're high-minded, they're full of arrogance, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form, a mere formula of godliness, an outward show alone, just like the Pharisees, who also were hell-bound, Matthew 23. They clean out the outer part of the cup, but inwardly they're full of wickedness, having a form of godliness, but denying the power, that is the authority of Jesus Christ, to reign in their daily lives through the crucifixion life. Thereof from such turn away. Get away from them. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captives silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse or various lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's what we have. We have a biblically illiterate generation, or two or three generations, of people that are good churchgoers, but they can't have a 5-minute conversation about Holy Scripture because they don't know the Word of God. And the Word of God they have read and heard from their so-called pastor has been from a fake Bible. Incredible. So Israel, the people of God, in the days of the prophet Hosea, forgot their maker, which the Bible speaks a lot about. Again, those that forget God are going to be turned into hell, Psalm 9:17. So the people that profess to know God and were in the past the people of God have forgotten their maker, and they build the temples. They multiply. I mean, the cities in the suburbs of the United States of America are littered with mega churches, seeker-friendly, tell me what I want to hear churches, tickle my fancy, let the smoke roll off the stage and make sure the coffee is good temples. That's what's being built. That's what's been built for decades, and it's only a matter of time. In fact, I believe the judgment is already in that which claims to be the house of God, according to 1 Peter 4:17 and 18. And we see that coming, and you can't even open up a browser for a day anymore without seeing some heinous crimes that were committed by pastors and people that worked at the so-called church. You see, what's happened as the churches, if you will, are manned by men who went and bought. They paid for a seminary degree so that they could have a good job and make a lot of money and exploit a lot of people, making merchandise of them, 2 Peter 2. That's what you got. And you put your trust in that, where they don't fit the bill. They do not have the fruit and the characteristics and the qualifications of men that God has ordained to be in ministry. According to, for example, 1 Timothy chapter 3, we have a list of qualifications for those who are to be in ministry. And not one of them is that they must be a seminary graduate. We've got a post and a podcast. It's very explosive. I want you to look it up on safeguardyoursoul.com. It's called Satan's Seminarians. We've got a whole category on seminarians. Drop down menu, right side of the desktop version, just click the down arrow and hit S. Scroll to seminarians. We see no such requirement among the characteristics and qualifications that must be present in a man that's going to be an elder of Christ. Those elders are set forth to watch for your souls and to feed you nothing but the pure word of God. Hebrews 13:7-17. They're to be there in place, are supposed to be ordained of God, qualified and prepared to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. You see, they are to equip the saints to do God's work, the Great Commission, which we talked about earlier. And the fact alone that you don't see the Great Commission being done, that fact alone tells you that these churches are completely apostate and all about themselves. They have forgotten their maker, and they've built these outer buildings, these physical buildings, to hide behind. And it's all about the building. It's all about gathering there and hearing the CEO, seminarian-trained, business-building, so-called pastor give you a nice little sermon and sprinkle in a few scriptures from a fake Bible while they tell stories. stories. They're turned over to fables, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's why the people that go and flock to these fake churches and fake pastors using fake Bibles and preaching a fake Jesus, that's what they do, because they are unrepentant. Notice, after their own lust shall they heap to themselves. They'll stack up. They will throw in front of them teachers having itching ears. They want their ears tickled. That's exactly where we get that terminology from. And perhaps the first time we see it in spoken form is going to be in the book of Isaiah, where the prophet Isaiah says this, Isaiah 30, beginning in verse 9, that this is a rebellious people. That is, the people who claim to be serving the Lord, as is so much the same today, because there's no new thing under the sun. That this is a rebellious people, lying children. They claim, they bear false witness by saying they serve the Lord, but they serve the God of self. And that's clear. They don't deny themselves, take up their cross and follow Jesus. That is, live a crucified life and walk a life of prayer, doing the will of the Father, which is the Great Commission, to feed the flock of God and to evangelize the lost. They have no thought of that, much less any kind of conviction or concern. Why? Because they're a rebellious people. They are lying children. They're bearing false witness to say that they serve the Lord while they do their own thing instead of the will of God. Every day, in and out, they spend their money on the things that enrich their own lives, that tickle their own fancy, instead of glorifying God. They're lying children. They're children that will not hear the law or the word of the Lord. They refuse to cry out to God for a clean heart, a heart that is circumcised, a heart of flesh, to replace a heart full of stone. Ezekiel 36, which say to the seers, or their leaders, see not, do not see. Don't walk in the light of the truth of God's word. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. We don't want to hear about the essential of God's holiness and that he commands and requires that we be holy as he is holy. We do not want to hear that. We do not want to hear about the crucified life. We do not want to hear that Jesus said, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. We don't want to hear it. Prophesy unto us right things, smooth things. Speak unto us smooth things. We want our ears tickled. See, Isaiah the prophet by the Holy Ghost is telling on the modern church today, several hundred years, 700 years before Jesus even came to the earth, and now 2,000 years after Christ has come and died and called us, commanded, mandated us to be crucified with him, Luke 9, 23 and 24, or we're not following him. We only lie and bear false witness as the wicked ones who claim to follow the Lord in the days of Isaiah and the ones that Paul prophesied of. They don't want to hear the word. They want to hear people who are going to tickle, who are going to tell stories, fairy tales and fables, and tickle their ears. See, they have forgotten their Maker, and they're going to be turned into hell, Psalm 9:17. Yet they build temples, so Israel has forgotten his Maker and build the temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, that's judgment, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. So we read about this. I want you to read the book of Haggai. It's only like three chapters, especially the first two chapters, where the Lord is calling the people to stop building their own houses in this fleeting world and to build his house. You can look up a podcast on Safeguard Your Soul called Build the House. Build the House. Check it out, from the days of Haggai, which is absolutely relevant to, and we see it happening today. Okay, so as we come in for a landing, remember, the Lord said to act now. He didn't say wait. He didn't say to put off his work, to do your own. No, he said, do my work now. Again, that's the book of Haggai, the message, and there's much more to it. And also, we have in John chapter 4, beginning in verse 35, where Jesus said to repent and do his work now. I pray that this message from the Word of God will stop you dead in your tracks, that God will have mercy on your soul, your eternal soul, that you will be granted the gift of repentance and to cry out to God to clean your heart, to strip you all the way to the core of your being and to give you a heart of flesh, a heart that is absolutely convicted at the thought of departing from His will. And that you would not, the fear of God would burn in your heart all the way from the inside out, that you would not be content or happy, but that you would be miserable outside of the perfect will of God, outside of being crucified with Christ, living a life of prayer, praying without ceasing, and doing, putting your hand on the plow of the work of God. Jesus said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." That should be a severe warning to every one of us who names the name of Christ. Luke 9:62. Hebrews 10:38. "Now the just," those that are justified in the eyes of God presently, "shall live not one time in the past, but now." You're living by faith. You walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. But Hebrews 10:38. "Now the just shall live by faith." Why? Because without faith it is impossible to please Him. He says right after this in 11:6 of Hebrews. "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man, like Lot's wife," hello, "but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." We are taught continually by the prophets and by Christ and the apostles that you must endure to the end to be saved into eternal glory. And anybody who's not teaching that, anybody who's teaching you that you're once saved, always saved, you're eternally secure, is a child of the devil 100%. That's the first lie of Satan in the Garden of Eden. He told a man and woman that you shall not surely die if you sin against God. Genesis 3:4. But God had warned the man and the woman because He loved them and He wanted to protect them, as He does you and I. He said, "If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die." Genesis 2:17 and 3:4. That is a lie from hell that has sent billions of people who were saved in the past, but when they died, their hand wasn't to the plow. They weren't in Christ. They weren't seeking the Lord in His strength. They weren't seeking His face continually, 1 Chronicles 16:11, and they died in sin. They died lukewarm and were spewed from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you like that or not. What you think doesn't matter. If you're a true disciple and you will say, "Lord, let Your word be true, and every man a liar, beginning with myself, in my own wicked heart, which is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it?" Romans 3:4. Jeremiah 17:9. So Jesus, as we close here, beginning in verse 34 of John 4, Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work." Is that what you can say today, my friend? My whole life is about doing the work of God. I am on mission from the One who saved me, who created me and then came and died for me, was buried and raised again from the dead to justify me. I am about His business, not my own and no others. My meat, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. You want to know if you're a true disciple of Jesus? There it is right there. Do you today declare that you are about the Father's business and you're walking that out? You're working out your salvation that He gave you with fear and trembling, and God is working in you both the will and the do of His good pleasure? Is that what your life looks like today, my friend? Philippians 2:12 and 13. Are you working or walking out the salvation He gave you? Are you declaring with Jesus, otherwise you're not following Him truly, that I must be about my Father's business, Luke 2:49. Are you declaring with Jesus right here in John 4:34, my meat, my whole agenda is to do the will of the Father, Him that sent me, and to finish His work. Remember Matthew 24:14, where He's speaking of those who endure to the end in verse 13. Then He says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Now, who is it that is preaching that gospel in all the world? Well, it's the remnant disciples of Christ. They're enduring to the end. They got their hand to the plow, and they're obeying the Great Commission command of Christ. If you're not participating in the Great Commission by either prayer, by preaching the Word of God, and by giving to fund it, you're not in the will of God. It doesn't matter how you try to wax it over, or the little fraud you call pastor evades this fact. It's a Bible fact. Jesus said, sent his people to be his ambassadors and to preach the gospel and to teach his word to all men, and to Matthew and to Mark. And if you're not participating in that by prayer and or preaching and giving, then you're out of the will of God. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It is the stated will, the word of God, that you and I participate in preaching the gospel to the lost and building up and nourishing and feeding the flock of God and preparing them for the work of the ministry, equipping them. That's the Father's business. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you involved in that? That's his mission. There'll be no excuse on judgment day. Oh, but Lord, I thought I was serving you by going to a church on Sunday and funding a fraud. You're going to be judged with that fraud. Discern the fruit. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruit. If they're not about preaching the pure word of God and preaching the gospel to the lost, then they are bearing the fruit of the enemies of Christ, warlocks who pretend to be the ministers of Christ, but they're actually the ministers of Satan. 2 Corinthians 11:12-15. So this gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached, and it is being preached by the true remnant of Christ. If you're not a part of it, today's your day to repent, lay down your life, and be a part of the true body of Christ, obedience to the mandate of Jesus Christ to reach the lost. Jesus said he was going to be about his Father's business. Here in John 4, he said that his meat was to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And then he says to us, say not ye, do not say, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. In other words, put off the harvesting of the souls of men, snatching them out of the jaws of Satan and sin, where they will die and bust hell wide open. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then the hearts of the children of men? That's in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 11. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. That is, he sees them. He sees hell waiting in the heart of the earth. Matthew 12, I believe it's verse 40. Hell is in the heart of the earth, and the Lord's eyes are upon hell in eternal destruction and damnation. They're before his eyes. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? So notice, God sees the many that are unreached with his gospel, and he sees that they're perishing, that they're getting ready to die and go to a devil's hell to burn forever. That's how God sees it. How do you see it? Say not ye. I'll tell you how the wise see it. Proverbs 11:30. He that is wise does what? Wins souls. Wins souls. Proverbs 11:30. He that winneth souls is wise. Are you praying today, my friend, that God will make you a consummate soul winner, a consummate seed sower? The seed of the word of God, Luke 8:11, never returns void, always accomplishes God's will. Isaiah 55:11. Are you praying that none of those around you that you come into contact with will declare, as we read in the book of Psalms, that no man cared for my soul? Psalm 142:4. No man cared for my soul. Hear that, my friends. There are so many who cry out to hear the gospel. They're well-dressed and even have money, but they need the gospel. Recently, a man was walking by on the street I live on here in Mexico. Handsome guy, 35-ish, father, husband. And I started ministering the word to him in Spanish and gave him a Jesus tract. He completely turned toward me with tears in his eyes, as if to say, I need this so bad. Thank you for telling me about Jesus. I need him. That's what his heart was saying. I walked over and embraced him and hugged him for a time and ministered to him that how he could have new life in Christ today, showed him the prayer on the back of the Jesus tract and said, Nuevo vida en Cristo por ti hoy, mi amigo. New life for you today in Christ. You can be forgiven. You can be washed. He wants to save you. He loves you. Some save with compassion. Others save with fear. So both of those are biblical as we're led by the Spirit. This man needed compassion. He wasn't a rebel in heart so much as he just wanted to know. And that's why, like today, I was walking by four handsome guys, about 30, just sitting down talking. And I pulled out, I saw them ahead of me. So as I was walking by them, I had four Jesus tracts in my hands. As soon as I gave one of them the tract, the other three were reaching their hands out to please give me that tract. Because right on the front of the Jesus tract, it says Jesus. at the top, real big. Why did this man die on a cross? They are so hungry. I can't even imagine. I'm so spoiled, as is Mark and anybody else here evangelizing. And it's a growing team, by the way. Check out the Mission Mexico category on safeguardyoursoul.com. Just within the last 3 weeks, God has connected us with a brother named Juan, who is an on-fire minister all day brother. Evangelist. Also, Sister Maria is passing out hundreds of the Jesus track every day. And by the way, let me say this. You talk about an opportunity, kingdom opportunity. We have the need of printing a lot more of these Jesus tracks. We've already run out because Maria went through hundreds of them in a matter of 2 or 3 days at the most. And she keeps calling every night for us to go replenish her. I finally gave her every track basically that we have. And now I'm picking up tomorrow 1,000 more, but that's going to be gone before you know it. We need the funding for these Jesus tracks, saints. You can read it online. You can download the PDF online. We're now at a pace of hundreds a day being distributed by just one person, much less everybody else. And we are in the love of Christ and the body of Christ, the people of God. We are buying her food. Every time I go bring her tracks, she gets a Mexican home dish from a family that cooks right there on the street, and a cold water or horchata. I love to buy people horchata. It's like a rice drink. That's got to be the most delicious drink I've ever tasted. And I grew up in New Orleans around some really good food, but Mexico is second to none as far as cuisine. The food scene is fantastic and very inexpensive. So we're going to feed them every time we see them. Brother Juan, same thing. Give them cold drink and restock them with Jesus tracks. Please pray for the fruitfulness and supply of this ministry, saints. Jesus said, do not say there are yet 4 months till harvest. No, don't put it off. Repent and engage in the gospel work today, my friend. That's what he's saying. Don't say there are yet 4 months. Harvest is in 4 months, and then cometh harvest. No. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The harvest is laying before us. But brother, I got to do this first and that. No, Jesus says repent and be busy about the Father's business now. That's the way you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things are going to be added unto you. Do an about face. Repent. Turn to God today with all your heart and cry out to Jesus to strip you, to circumcise all of the evil and excuse making and human reasonings out of your life. Go on a fast.
And when you do, God's stuff is going to be front and center in your life. Not your stuff, his stuff, which is the kingdom advancement, the Great Commission, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Then he says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. So that's like people giving to the ministry here. We're doing the footwork. They're participating by praying and giving, and we're all reaping equal reward. It doesn't matter, as we close, it does not matter what part you play in the Great Commission. It matters that you participate. Everybody can pray, and everybody can give something. Notice, as we close, we're going to pray here in a moment. 1 Samuel 30, verse 24, we have a kingdom truth here. He says, as his part is that goeth down to the battle. In other words, he's speaking about the frontliners. As his part is that goeth down to the battle. He goes with a spear. He goes with a shield. He goes to fight on the front line. That's a picture of those who are on the streets. Maria, Juan, Brother Mark, myself. We're on the streets. Got our sleeves rolled up. We got our hand to the plow. We're doing the battle on the streets. We're evangelizing the lost. So shall his part be. It's going to be equal. That tarrieth by the stuff, they shall part alike. In other words, those that are on the front lines and those that are in the background praying, that's the most powerful thing, and supplying, giving. We're all going to part alike. We're all going to be rewarded the same. We must participate in the work of Christ, or were falsely claiming to serve and to know Him. Show me a man that is about the Father's business of the Great Commission, and I will show you a man that is truly bearing the fruits of a true disciple of Jesus and is ready to meet the Lord. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to You, Lord, before Your throne of grace, asking You to bestow Your mercy afresh on us for our sins of omission and commission. Set our lives on fire for Thee from this moment forward. We pray with the beloved psalmist, Lord, that You would unite our hearts to truly fear Thy name. Let this life that You gave us, each of us praying together now before Your throne through Christ, let this life You gave be stripped and crucified with You, Lord Jesus, raised up and addicted to the work of God like the household of Stephanas. Addicted to Your work, order our steps from this moment forward, Lord, to glorify Thy holy name. Let us abide in Thee according to Your word and bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.